And now let's get into the check system. Check, a nice acronym. The way it's described here, a little hard to employ. Clothing. Well, think of that first C, clothing, as a concept, loose clothing. What I would like you to do is start thinking in terms of tuck it in or take it off. Well, what about my hair? Well, you can take it off or you can tuck it in. Tuck it in the helmet? No, we want that helmet to fit on your head, so tuck it down your shirt. When it gets chilly weather, we have people showing up with hoodies. Best place is take the jacket off with a hoodie. Well, it's pretty cool when you get off the ground, so keep the jacket on, but tuck the hood down into the jacket. If you're wearing a sweater, make sure that harness is fitting snugly over the sweater. Because if the sweater is dangling where it might get caught in the rope, wouldn't hurt the person, but could make it possible for them to be unable to descend or could result in tearing of their clothes. So tuck it in or take it off. Harnesses and helmets. Hopefully that's all clear. What we've come to understand when wearing harnesses, what works best perhaps is having the participant hold the waist belt with their thumb and forefinger of both hands on either side, where the thumbs are touching the bottom of the rib cage and their fingers are touching the top of their hips. Now, this means that that part of the body is the soft and squishy part. That's where you want the belt. If you put it too far down, it can be sitting on the hips, and when pressure is put on it, that's going to press skin against bone. That's very uncomfortable. If it's too high and you're pressing on the ribs, that's even more uncomfortable, and that could result in a broken or a cracked rib also. So just having them hold it between that does something else too. It gives them something to do with both hands. And that leaves you, as the instructor, free to help put that on appropriately. So you cinch the waist down first, and then we do the legs. And before we use that helmet and harness, we have inspected it, making sure that the webbing is clear, there's no rough metallic parts that could cut. And with the helmets, what we want to do is loosen that helmet up as wide as possible, set the helmet on the person's head, participant's head, while they look straight ahead. Or what will happen if you're saying, "Now let's put the helmet on," for some odd reason, most people look at the ground. And what we want them to do is look at your buddy over there, look at that other person, smile, show them you're really enjoying yourself. Plop the helmet on. Snug the headband up where it's a little tight, then back it off just a bit, then adjust the chin strap, making sure that the straps around the ears aren't covering the ears. What do we do if someone shows up with large dangling earrings? Somebody out in there?
Ask them to remove them.
Put them in a pocket.
Anyone else?
You can tape them, but that's not the best choice.
Tape them with what?
Well, I've seen people do it. They didn't want to take them out, so they covered and taped them. It was a little ridiculous.
What I would recommend, and here it's this would be the question that you as a level one instructor can probably do on your own, but best practice is, who's the level two? Who's the director? And ask them, what is our practice? What is our protocol? What's our procedures for today? What do we do? And really, it's up to the person running this. If I were running it, I would say, "I am sorry. I really am sorry, but this is unsafe. We don't want to hurt you. We don't want you to be hurt." Now, there's another way of saying that too. Our course at Camp Snyder and down at Goshen is really, really greedy. anything that's dangling, like earrings or awards or ribbons or anything, it wants to keep them. It will rip them off of you. And I would think that perhaps you would want to keep them and go home with them. So,
What I've done in the past is I've said, if I can't wear them, neither can you. Well, I don't have pierced ears, so.
so Brad, we've had some groups out there that would say, we can fix that. Here, I've got a knife. But really, it's what do you got in your pockets? Anything that you're wearing could fall out of a pocket. And let it be the participant's choice, but be perfectly clear that we're here to keep them safe, keep the participant safe, the staff safe. And in some cases, it's just not going to be worth it to put anything at risk. Because
Tony,
one person gets hurt, it's game over for the entire group. Yeah, Larry?
I've worked aboard ship before. Nothing on our courses precludes the wearing of rings, does it?
No.
Okay.
That is a good point. Tell you what, one thing that might be we could do is ensure that every one of our buckets has got a couple sets of gloves. So if there's someone who it they have a small hand, a large ring, and there's a possibility that maybe you could get caught on something, then how about putting on a pair of gloves?
Right. Okay, good.
Remind me, I need to get more gloves and put them in, because Home Depot, for example, sells decent type of gloves that would be perfect for that purpose, for inexpensively.
Right, because just from work aboard ships and different things, I normally pull my ring if I go aloft. It's just force of habit.
Well, I used to be able to do that, and then when my
Okay.
and then I took it was back when my son was a toddler, and I used to take it off when changing diapers, and one of those periods I disappeared somehow, and so my wife got me another one about a half a size smaller, and it's never been off since.
Yep. I have a good story. It'll take 30 or 40 seconds to tell.
Go
My
for it.
wife was pregnant. Her wedding ring got too tight. We had to cut it off. And I made one of the biggest mistakes I ever made. I took the cut-off ring and affixed it to the inside of my nostril so it hung like a bull's ring. She hit me and hit me hard.
And you're still reeling from it, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
Didn't appreciate the joke.
I
Go
guess.
ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, a double ring ceremony. Everyone knows means one for her finger and one for his nose. Got it. All right. Environment. Check all program areas are safe, free from obstructions and hazards. So, what I would like you to do is consider the following. When we're thinking of the E part is not only the elements, not only the weather, but also think of the participants. What is their internal environment like?
Okay.
Properly hydrated, temperature, particularly in the June, July, August on that course, it's very easy to get heat stroke. And if a staff person is running the zip line and are on the tower, it is very easy to stay up there a bit too long, and that is definitely not the place you want to get a little lightheaded. You're going to be tethered in so you'd be safe, but still. Connections. Chuck Gandy has a nice way of checking the carabiners, making sure they're locked, by putting the hand that is away from the person that or holding the carabiner, so the spine of the carabiner is in the palm of your hand, your fingers are on the gate, and it's exposed in a way where the other person can see it. And you're squeezing it, and they can see that it's not opening and closing. I really like that idea. And knots, The knots that you're going to be using for climbing, they're one thing. Also, look at your shoelaces, making sure that they're properly knotted. Watching someone get about three quarters of the way up and having their shoe come untied, we don't want that to happen.